This morning, our New Testament reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In the bulletin, it says that the verses are 12 through 31a. I did shorten that a little bit. It should end at either verse 24 or 25. So it'll be 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 25. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with great honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. This is the word of our Lord. This past Monday was Martin Luther King Day. It is the one day out of the year that we celebrate the life and achievements of Martin Luther King Jr. And on that day, as people all around the globe celebrated MLK, every form of social media was lit up with his pictures and his quotes from his various speeches and letters. The most widely posted quote was, of course, from his "I Have a Dream" speech that he delivered in 1963 in Washington, D.C., There was one quote, however, that caught my attention because I had never heard it before or read it. It was a quote from one of his letters that he wrote while he was in jail in Birmingham, Alabama. And this is what the quote said. I am in Birmingham because injustice is here. I am cognizant of the interrelatedness of all communities and states. I cannot sit idly by in Atlanta and not be concerned about what happens in Birmingham. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And this is the best part of the quote. King went on to say, "We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly." In this letter, King focuses on the interconnectedness of the world, how we are all connected to one another, therefore affected by one another. King was speaking about the same kind of interconnectedness that Paul wrote about centuries prior in his letter to the Corinthians. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, more specifically in the passage that I read to you all this morning, Paul illustrates our interconnectedness by using the body metaphor and noted all the various parts of the body that it takes to comprise the body, the hands, the ears, the feet. And then he pointed out how each body part is not only needed, but each body part plays its own special and intricate role in the overall functioning of the body. Paul went on to say that in just the same way that it takes all the various parts to comprise a full functioning body, so is the case for us. It takes all of us with our many different roles, our abilities, our gifts and talents to form the body of Christ in this world. And as we form the body of Christ in this world, we are to function with mutual concern for one another. And with that understanding in mind, with the understanding that together we comprise the body of Christ in this world, and we are to function with mutual concern for one another, then it makes Dr. King's questions really hit home for us this morning. His questions, when he stated, "Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? And how will you change the world around you for better?" And this morning, I have a video that I wanted to show you all that portrays what some people around the world have done to help other people. It's a video from 2014 that highlights what 11 people around the globe have done to make this world a better place. CNN did a good job scanning the globe and identifying all the various people who have collectively made this world a better place. Whether it was helping autistic children, helping injured troops, cancer patients, or animals, all of those individuals use their unique talents, their abilities, and gifts to help other people. And each one had a unique role they played in making this world a better place. As Paul pointed out in his letter to the Corinthians, we are one body. Together, we make and form the body of Christ in this world, and it is God's intention that we function with mutual concern for one another, and that we utilize our God-given abilities to help others and to improve this world. This morning, I have a couple of stories that I wanted to share with you all, both of which depict what it looks like and what it entails to function as the body of Christ with mutual concern for one another. The first story that I wanted to share with you all is about a farmer. It was a farmer who grew corn. And this farmer was very well known. He was well known for his award-winning corn. Every year he would enter the state fair and he would win a blue ribbon. One particular year, a TV reporter went out to his farm to interview him. And they found out something interesting about how he grew it. During the course of the interview, the reporter discovered that the farmer shared his seeds with his neighbors. The interviewer asked him, "How can you afford to share your best corn seeds with your neighbors when they're your competition? Don't you know that theirs might beat yours in the next competition?" The farmer responded, he said, "Why, sir, didn't you know the winds pick up pollen from the ripening corn and swirls it from field to field? My neighbor grows inferior corn, cross-pollination will steadily and eventually degrade my quality of corn. If I am to grow good corn, then I have to share it with my neighbors." This farmer was very much aware of the interconnectedness of life, how his corn could not continue to be the best or improve in future years unless his neighbor's corn improved. The farmer ended the interview by saying, "So it is with our lives. Those who choose to live in peace must help their neighbors to live in peace. Those who choose to live well must help others to live well. For the value of a life is measured by the lives it touches. And that is how everyone wins." The second story that I wanted to share with you all is about a fourth grade classroom. This fourth grade classroom was introduced to a game called Balloon Stop by their teacher. In this game, a balloon is tied to every child's leg, and the object of the game is to pop everyone else's balloon while protecting your own balloon. The last person with the intact balloon wins. So the fourth graders entered into this game with zeal and vigor, and the balloons were relentlessly targeted and destroyed. In the game, in its totality, lasted just a few seconds, leaving only one balloon inflated. The owner, of course, was the most disliked kid, not only because he won, but because he was rude and pushy and offensive as he was trying to win. There was another classroom that was introduced to this game, Balloon Stop. Only this time it was a class of mentally handicapped children. And they were given the same explanation as the first class. The signal to begin was given, but the game proceeded very differently. Perhaps the instructions were given too quickly for the children with the learning disabilities to grasp them. But nevertheless, the one idea that did get through was that the balloons were supposed to be popped. So it was the balloons, not the players, that became the target in the enemy. Instead of fighting each other, they started helping each other. So one girl would kneel down, she would hold her balloon while one of the classmates stomped it, and then he would kneel down and hold his balloon so she could stomp his. And this went on and on until the balloons had finally been deflated. At that point, when all the balloons had been stomped out, they joined their hands together, they smiled, and they cheered. In that one particular game of balloon stomp, everybody won. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, that is what he is trying to convey to all of us. We are the body of Christ in this world, and God's intention is for us to function with mutual concern for one another. And when we do, that is when everybody wins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.